What is the reason for the Christmas season? Santa was at the mall today. Is he the reason for the season? Is it in the gifts that we give? Is it in the gifts that we get? Is it in the lights that we see, the ways that we decorate our homes? Is it in the coffee mugs that we break out once a year, the cookies that we make, all the small traditions of our families? No, and you all know that. But it's really easy to forget. Like, what is the reason for this season? We get kind of caught up in the hustle and the bustle, and maybe you're there right now and you're just being invited to slow down, come to Mass tonight. And all those things, you know, even here at church, we decorate in a certain way. And all the things, the whats, point us, hopefully, to the actual reason for the season. And maybe the better question isn't, like, what is the reason for the season, but who is the reason for the season? Like, relationships are always going to be more important than things. People are always going to be more important than things. So the question is, what is the reason? It's who is the reason? God visits his people. I don't think we appreciate that enough. That God transcendent, God who's in the heavens, God who's far off, God who made the earth and the sea and the skies, God who made the sea to be filled with fish and the land to be filled with animals, God who knows your mind and your heart, God who seems so distant, so powerful, God visits his people. We make that great prayer during the responsorial psalm. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face and we shall be saved. That if we just behold your face, that would be enough for us. That's what the prayer that the church gives us today. We just want to see you. And that would be enough. Like, freedom opens up in our hearts. If I could see the Lord, it would provide a decisive direction for my life. And all the whats that get me thrown off my path would fall away. Because I would know exactly who I'm living for. God visits his people and he hasn't stopped. So in case you've doubted God's special love and care for you, God visits his people. And tonight in Holy Communion, he's going to visit you in a special way. That you're not just one of many, you're his. You belong to him. Jesus is the reason for the season. We see this beautiful encounter happen in the gospel today, the visitation. It's one of the mysteries of the rosary. Mary, who's newly pregnant with infant Jesus, goes to visit her older, barren cousin, Elizabeth, who's miraculously pregnant with John the Baptist in her womb. And Elizabeth is a great example, in case we are getting caught up in the hustle and the bustle or the what of Christmas. We hear that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She had been filled with the Holy Spirit, which isn't a grace that's just reserved for her. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what you need to do? You need to ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Is that simple enough? Ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, there's a whole bunch of junk in here. I need you to flood it so that you can fill me with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit because she desires to be. Elizabeth, you could imagine getting caught up in the hustle and bustle. She's got her AirPods on and listening to Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You." And Mary comes and she's totally distracted and says, "How you doing?" And totally misses the point. But what do we hear happen? There's a presence that Elizabeth has to her. It says, Mary, when she heard Mary's greeting, the infant in her womb leaped for joy. She cried out in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." She recognizes that the person, the who that Jesus, that Mary is carrying, brings salvation. Blessed are you among women. And then she has this great line, "And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And I love that. That's the gift, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the wonder and awe that every Christian should have. Like, Lord, how can you be this good? My life isn't perfect, but goodness, it is profoundly good. And how does it happen that you continue to show up in these relationships, in these ways, time and time again? That we have actually eyes to notice and to appreciate what the Lord is doing. Elizabeth is the first Christian. She's the first one to call Jesus Lord. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to profess the creed that we're about to in a few minutes if I ever stop talking. It's like we're going to say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. And you're going to go down the line. And here she is saying, the mother of my Lord. She recognizes immediately that God's becoming man. Because we want to see his face so that we can be saved. C.S. Lewis once wrote that Christianity, if false, is of no importance. Like if this has all been a lie that's been going on for 2,000 years, if Jesus really isn't God, it's of no importance. He says, if it's true, it's of the utmost importance. The one thing that Christianity cannot be is moderately important. The one thing that Christianity cannot be is moderately important. And I think especially during the Christmas season, it's easy to treat Christianity, it's easy to treat Jesus of moderate importance. That the reason for the season isn't in all of the externals. The reason for the season is the who that comes into the world, that God visits his people. And the grace that I'm asking for myself and for all of you, is that we would have eyes to see, that we would have a heart that slows down and that can well up with gratitude and appreciation for the ways that he visits us in our daily lives. God hasn't stopped visiting his people, and he desires to fill you with the Holy Spirit if you would have the heart to ask, Lord, make us turn to you. We want to see your face, and we shall be saved. Lord, we want your Holy Spirit.